Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
I understand we're going to have a special program tomorrow that people ought to be tuning in for sure.
That's right. Don't miss tomorrow's program. We have an interview, exclusive interview with Edward Snowden. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I remember that very well. I remember him very well. Anyway, I hope everybody tunes in tomorrow as well as every day.
Yeah, noon Eastern time.
Okay, very good. Now, today I want to go back to Syria. It seems like even if we want a little bit of variety, Syria is always popping up at the top of the list. And there's a good reason for that, because there's been a battle going on for 2 years now, the Battle of Raqqa, the so-called capital for the Islamic State. And there's a battle going on, and the alignment on each side's a little bit confusing, mm-hmm. where people get wondering what's really happening. Of course, Assad, who, regardless of his practices, is still a sovereign leader of a sovereign country, and he has a close ally who has had bases in Syria for a long time, Russia. They are in the battle to throw out rebels who would like to destroy the Assad government and kill Assad. The people who are on the other side happens to be rebels, ISIS, United States. And so it gets a little bit confusing. But there was an incident over the weekend that looks like it's further escalation. Last week we talked about the deconfliction zones. We, United States, drew up some zones which said to the Syrians, don't cross our territory. Like, we've declared ownership of it, and you can't do it. So now the excuse is that the Syrian government did do that, and lo and behold, the United States decided they'd shoot down an airplane, aircraft to aircraft, which is pretty unusual. They say that we as a country haven't done that since 1999 in Kosovo. We've shot down a few airplanes and drones and all, but aircraft to aircraft, which is a different escalation in a war condition. So exactly what was going on there with this shooting down the aircraft, and how significant is this going to be?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in it, but the F-18s took off from the USS George Bush off the coast of Israel, I think, and they hit a Syrian jet, a Sukhoi fighter that they hit. And you're right, I think it is significant that it was air-to-air combat, because the Russians claim that they were also operating in the area. They were attacking ISIS. The Syrian army is advancing toward Raqqa and toward Deir ez-Zor, two very important places to capture. And this is where all the conflicts have gone. So it would sort of back that idea that the U.S. didn't want to just lob up a missile because it could have hit a Russian plane in the area. The U.S. claims that the Syrian jet was hitting the U.S. backed opposition in this town of Jardin when it was attacked. But in fact, that was not doesn't appear to be the case, because that town had been taken by the Syrian government several hours earlier. And the last thing I'll say on this early part of it is that the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which is considered a pro-rebel group, essentially, organization, or at least biased in favor of the rebels, even they, and they're cited by the U.S. government, U.S. media constantly, even they said, our sources confirmed that the Syrian jet was not targeting the U.S.-backed SDF forces.
There was another incident not too long ago that we talked about where the consequence looked like on the surface that we were aiding ISIS, and we've been accused of being an ally of ISIS. Of course, an announced alliance with ISIS would never be, but we have had a policy all the way back to Afghanistan in the 80s where we are willingly become allies of some very tough people, like back then it was Osama bin Laden. And so we will use them, and right now it seems to me that as time goes on, that Assad and the Russians are closer to victory, and that maybe people are sensing, well, we're getting to the point where the end will come, and it will be declared that Raqqa goes back into the hands of the government, and that the rebels will have lost. And then we have this confusion about the ISIS and, of course, the Kurds involved. But even though U.S. policy would never admit we're pro-ISIS, frequently the policy is because they know, our American government knows that ISIS can be used to undermine Assad. Not because they want to help us, but we get, you know, drawn into this. But they would like to have as much control of that country as possible. So so this is a very strategic area right now on which way it goes. Because if there was no defense of Raqqa and it was gladly or easily given over to the rebels, then this means long-term trouble, you know, because that means that Assad is on the ropes, and right now it doesn't look that way. But the big question is, how much escalation can be tolerated? Russia has already reacted to this, and it hasn't been in soft tones.
Yeah, and you know, this new aggression, or this new escalation against Assad's troops, as they move toward ISIS, that sort of undermines the U.S. central theme, which is we're only in Syria because we got to take out ISIS. Well, if the Syrian government forces are about to take out ISIS from Raqqa, which it seems like they are, then why does the U.S. care? If the only reason we're there is to get rid of ISIS, shouldn't matter them either way who takes it over. But the other thing, you're right, and this is the part that gets very concerning. The Russian government called this U.S. attack, quote, an act of aggression, quote, a breach of international law, and, quote, assistance for terrorists. So in retaliation or in response, they're going to halt this deconfliction hotline that we have. And they're also going to, this is a quote from the Russian Defense Ministry, in areas where Russian aviation is conducting combat missions in Syrian skies, any flying objects, .. will be followed by Russian air and ground defense forces as air targets.
Well, you know, traditionally, when we have to deal with problems like this, if you take a position which is pointing out the truth and it looks like you're criticizing one's own government, you know, that's, people don't like that. So really the challenge here is, where will the people get their news about what's happening? Most people probably haven't heard of Raqqa, you know, still yet, and aren't real worried about it. There are other things that they're concerned about. But if they aren't concerned, where are they going to get it? The little bit that is on the news is going to have headlines that will show that they aggressed against us. They aggressed, and we have to retaliate. We can't. We set up the rules. This is like coming in and drawing a circle around the state of Delaware and saying, "Okay, we have Delaware. Don't cross this, or it'll be an aggression." You know. But this is what they have done. But I think the American people are reasonable. I think if they knew the facts, they'd say, you know, that makes sense. Why are we doing this? And I'm always pleased that when we get good comments from our viewers, because they seem to understand.
Yeah.
But we need to be able, with the help of anybody and everybody, to reach more Americans, because ultimately it's the American citizen that suffers, you know, whether it's financial or whether it's their family being killed and this sort of thing. And there's more people right now being killed in Afghanistan, and they're talking about even more escalation. So this is a mess, and I think that the American people ultimately suffer the consequence, but I sure wished that we had the capability and the ability to get our message out to more people, because I really believe the American people would respond favorably to what we're talking about.
And, you know, the propaganda is very strong. You know, just before we started the show, I was just curious, and so I did a browsing of all the headlines. And you can do that pretty easily on Twitter. You know, you can see what the mainstream media headlines are. And, you know, as we talked about, this is the U.S. shooting down a Syrian plane over Syrian airspace fighting ISIS. So what are the U.S. headlines? Putin targets American planes over Syria.
Yeah.
And even Marco Rubio tweeted this morning, Putin threatens to treat U.S. aircraft as targets over Syria.
Oh,
so he's the aggressor, you know, he's there legally. You know, he's there as a partner of the government, and they're fighting ISIS. But the whole story is not that we shot them down. It's they threaten us.
You know, that's so confusing to sovereignty and to, for whom does he speak? But they're not challenged in the media. They get quoted as if they're on the moral high ground. But also involved here in the last couple of days, it was noted that Iran sent off some missiles into Syria, which is not commonplace. We do know where their sympathies lie. Because obviously they've been closer to Assad and the Shia and the Russians. But these missiles, what was the pretense there on where they were shooting these missiles, and what was their goal?
Well, from what the press reports say, you know, Iran was attacked not long ago, and ISIS took claim responsibility for it. Their parliament was attacked, and the shrine of Khomeini was attacked, suicide bomb. And so they say that they hit apparently some ISIS targets on the road to Deir ez-Zor. Apparently, this was retaliation, what they said, which, okay, it's significant. It's the first time they've shot missiles outside their country in 30 years. But, you know, look at the U.S. shot a bunch of missiles into Syria over these seemingly false claims that Assad used chemical attacks. So it's not an unprecedented thing, but it does represent the Iranians flexing a little bit of muscles, I would say.
You know, wars frequently get named after the individual, usually presidents, who are most identified with a war. And there was a time when they talked about Madison's war and different things like that. But I'm just wondering who's going to get that honor to say this is so-and-so's war. We could go back 2 years ago. Donald Trump wasn't in office, and Donald Trump wasn't in office in 2011. And it happens to be his predecessor. So is this going to be Obama's war, or is he going to really get his name attached to the Afghan war, which was the good war? But no, Trump is adding more troops back there. That war might be the Trump war, but this one might be called the Trump war too. And there are others that it might be named after. It might be the neocon war. It might be NATO's war. Who knows what it'll be? But
the generals' war.
The generals. Now you know the generals have more authority. Now you wonder, the way it's set up, we would have to assume that the generals, the admirals in this case, had the authority to go ahead and do this bombing without waking up Trump.
That's a good question. Did they check with him?
I haven't seen that. Then I imagine they'll call me today and ask me if I want to interview the president. You know, no, but to me that is important because I still fear domestic violence and the Department of Homeland Security when generals run it, and if they gradually gain more and more decision power without more civilian control. Of course, if the civilian control is not all helpful to our cause, but still. Still, the army should be minimized. We weren't intended to have standing armies. We certainly were never intended to be the policemen of the world and have millions of people in hundreds of countries, 140, 50 countries. And so this separation, but the whole thing, the principle that eventually has to be comprehended and argued for would be non-interventionism, you know, because this would happen. And I keep thinking, the accusations that it's thrown against individuals like ourselves is that we don't care about our country, we're un-American, we don't care about our troops. But just think what it would have been like, especially since World War II, because things were a little bit different back then in the declaration of that war. If since World War II that we had had a very strict non-interventionist foreign policy in place, how many Americans would not have died? How much more prosperous would this world be? How much more liberties would we have? And would we, you know, have the concern of blowback and terrorism? The world would be a different place if that had happened. And, of course, that's the reason not to just wring your hands and say, too bad, those days are over. Yes, the past is done, but can we learn anything from this? Could we consider, you know, a different foreign policy? And they say we'll be weak and we have to have a world presence. They need us to restore order. The Soviets are gone. So it is our American exceptionalism that is so necessary to maintain peace. What a sad understanding. But a lot of people, I'm afraid, still believe that.
Well, if they had maintained any peace, they might have a good argument, right? I mean, if there was any peace anywhere they've intervened, you know.
Yeah, we could concede it. So what do you expect from all this?
I think this is actually very serious. We've joked around a little bit during the show, but I think this is a serious escalation. I think the Russians are very serious. That, you know, they've not done much since the U.S. has three times, I think, hit Syrian-backed forces in the region. I think this is very serious. I think the Russians are sending a signal to the U.S., do not engage us as we move toward Raqqa. So I think we should take it seriously. And, you know, I think it's also important to emphasize that we're not on the side of Syria or the Russians. We're on the side of the Americans. We're in a place we shouldn't be, and it's dangerous for our country. We should be concerned as patriotic Americans.
That is absolutely right. And back to my opening statement, but this is all about the battle for Raqqa. And even though this has been going on for 2 years, it seems like in the last 6 months, we've talked about Syria and Raqqa a lot more. Each week, it seems to be escalating, which is what we have warned about. But I would try to encourage all our viewers to try to get a message out and get people more interested by saying, what's this battle of Raqqa is all about? And why are we there? Where is this located? And I think sometime these interviews with our college-age students, to ask them, well, where is Raqqa? Where is Syria? Where are our troops dying? Where is all this happening? So we need an effort. And we say, well, what can you do and how do you do it? Well, whatever any individual do, everybody has an obligation and everybody has an ability to reach people. And I am so amazed and so impressed over the years, especially in the last 10 years, how creative individuals are, especially in the electronic age, of starting new organizations and getting information out. And that's the only tool we have. It's imperfect, there's no doubt. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot better than having the American people get their news from the Washington Post and New York Times. And right now, they're on the ropes. They are being discredited. So I believe really sincerely that if we're concerned about the American people and if we're concerned about peace and prosperity, that we will work very hard to get support for the non-interventionist foreign policy. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.